Okay.
You can do the intro. Oh, wait, sound test first. I'll go first. Nipples. Nipples. No one would recognize Harry Truman's nipples. Yeah, I'm coming through good. Go ahead.
Tool, fucking tool.
You sound good too. Go.
Welcome, everybody. It is our silly podcast. Let me try and say that again. Podcast. We basically use it as a cathartic tool to express silly ideas and process ridiculous emotions. And we're going to talk about the new Tool album today, so if you don't like that, then turn this shit off.
Yeah.
It is Just Because. My name is Joe Neal. This is my brother from another mother with the same grandmother, Jason Mark.
You know,
and with us, as always, is Maynard James Keenan.
I can't do
one of the singers from Green Jelly.
What was I going to say? I can't remember. I'm distracted. Something. Oh, one of our shows, we're going to do a whole, it's going to be an hour of introducing. It's going to be half an hour of sound tests and half an hour of, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to, and then it'll be like that for half an hour. Listen, Joe, I'm mad.
Hold on a second. Was that some sort of, I am feeling some vitriol.
Good.
And do you hear that? The asshole police are coming.
They're coming for me. Yeah, look, I'm not mad at you, all right? First of all, let's just get that one out of the way. I'm not mad.
I get the sense that you don't like to do sound tests and do introductions, that's becoming tedious for you.
No, it's my favorite part of the show. Shut up. Listen, I'm not actually mad. I'm just pretending to hear the podcast. All right, so listen, here's some things that you need to be warned about. Both you, Joe, and you, the audience, laddies and gentle moms. See what I did there? Laddies and gentle moms.
Very good. Okay. Very good.
Yeah. First of all, one, I am switching medications. So right now I am down cycling my previous medication before I start the new one. And therefore, everything sucks. Okay? Everything sucks. Everything sucks right now. But it'll get better next week. I hope. I promise. Somebody for whom I have a lot of respect suggested I try something, and I was looking for a change anyway, and so I'm going to try it. But until then, everything sucks. Two, I went to Lake Country this weekend, and the deal was I was going to be there, and I was going to listen to the new Tool album, and it was going to be great. Right? Right.
So yeah.
I got up one morning. I hadn't listened to any of it. I got up one morning. I'm going to go for a walk. I got my iPhone. I got my cans. And I start walking, and I play it, and I'm not looking. I don't know what the songs are. Three songs play, and then it's done. And two of the songs were those weird sound effecty songs. You know how Tool does, just weird sound effects and shit, right? And I was like, what the fuck? So I look at my playlist, and it kept saying, you're not authorized to listen to this track. And it's a good thing there was no Apple executives in my presence, because I would have punched them in the face. I was so livid. It was like, I downloaded this. I paid for it. What do you mean it's not authorized? So I had to do some tricks, and I had to do some things and some tricks, and I finally got it, and now I have it, and I listened to it for the first time today, for the first time an hour ago. Joe, that's right. The Tool album has been out for a week, and I have not listened to it until just now. I am not happy. Third thing.
Yes.
I am now using a CPAP machine. I'm officially old. That's right, ladies. If you wanted to jump these bones are old and brittle. I am using a CPAP machine. Last night was my second night, and because it wasn't working so well, I had to sleep on my back the whole time. I'm a side sleeper. I had to sleep on my back, and now my back hurts. It's been hurting all day. Oh, yeah, I slept great, but I slept like crap on a CPAP. So, Joe, that's why I'm mad. Let's talk about the new Tool album.
Hey, do you ever listen to How Does This Get Made?
No.
It almost sounded like you're doing a Paul Scheer impersonation.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It was good.
I
just realized that when you are angry,
yeah,
and you have pent-up energy,
yeah,
maybe you just start sounding a little like like Paul Scheer.
I'm going to look up who this is. I had a crush on a girl named...
You don't look like him.
Wait, is he the guy from a Spinal Tap?
No. Oh,
that's Harry Scheer.
Harry Scheer, yeah. Paul, yeah. I think that's his name, Paul Scheer.
Oh, that guy.
He's a bald guy. Yeah, you probably recognize him. He's super funny. He was in this show called Human Giant.
Yeah, he's a writer.
He's a future man, and he's got a great podcast where they just shit all over shitty movies.
Oh, cool. I'm going to have to check that out. Yeah, I like this guy. I recently shaved off my gigantic mountain man beard, and I, too, like Paul Scheer, look kind of like a turtle. So, maybe it's not that far off. So, you listened to the whole album yet? Tool. First album in, what, 13 years? Hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Before we get to the music itself, apparently Taylor Swift fans are losing their marbles because Tool is streaming more than Taylor Swift's new album. Did you hear about that?
No, but I guess that's good news.
Okay, I don't care who streams more. And Taylor Swift got screwed by lawyers. So did Tool, it turns out. But more power to her. I hope she gets all the success she wants. And admittedly, she has a lot of fans. And it's just a vocal few that are saying this. So I can't really fault all of them. She's not my cup of tea. But then again, not everyone wants to drink the bitter black stuff that I consume. So I don't have a problem with that. It's just a few of them, though, make me laugh. Because they're like, hey, everybody, stream more because we want Taylor Swift to win. And that just cracks me up.
Yeah, it didn't occur to me even that there would be a competition or that anyone would really care. But just to hear that Tool is beating out Taylor Swift because she's a huge, like, one of the biggest stars in the world. And yeah. And so people still really like Tool. I mean, I knew this new Tool album was going to be a big deal, but honestly, I didn't realize it was as big a deal as Taylor Swift.
So well, I think it's cool. I think it's a matter of, you know, I mean, I don't know how to analyze all this stuff properly, but it's their first album in over a decade, and so there's a lot of anticipation, and people have been waiting for it. Like, people have been talking about it for 8 years or so. I mean, they're talking about the whole time, but they've been talking about it for a long time, too. So there's pretty much every single person who's going to buy the album probably has. You know what I mean? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if sales drop drastically because everybody already bought it, right? I don't know how that works. Maybe I'm wrong. And then there's the streaming part of it, whatever. But there could not be a more diametrically opposed fan base than Taylor Swift fans and Tool fans. And I know there's got to be someone out there who listens to both, which is great. But like I said, I don't care.
I can tell you this much. I consider myself a non-Taylor Swift fan.
Yeah.
But then every once in a while, that seems to be called into question by my behavior. Because I'll see some picture of her or there's a YouTube video. And by the way, the reason why there's any YouTube video showing up on my YouTube is because I've already been through this cycle of behavior before, and the YouTube knows that, and it shows me another picture of Taylor Swift, and it knows I'm going to hit the button. And then I hit the button, and I'm like, oh, is this another song about, like, a breakup or something? It like, seems like all the same shit. And then I get emotionally moved somehow.
Okay, yeah.
And then I realize, oh, that she's really talented. Ooh, her voice. Oh, she's gorgeous. Oh, look at her dance. Oh, she really means it. Oh, man, she was really getting into this. And then I go, I understand why so many people like Taylor Swift. And she's just gorgeous. Did I already say that?
She is a talented musician. I don't think that anybody would dispute that and be able to hold their ground. I mean, she's definitely got skills. And
yeah,
I think
anybody, you'd have to be an idiot not to admit that. But what I'm saying is, I'm like, oh, I'm not a fan. And then every time I hear a song, I like her songs. So that's different.
Okay, so, you know, the word
that
fan...
puts me in a different category, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know. No, I mean, but that's not a bad thing. Well, you can say that you don't listen to Taylor Swift, and then a Taylor Swift song comes on, and you listen to it. That's fine. That is a legal thing. Fan is short for fanatic.
It doesn't make me a fan. You're right.
No.
It just makes me someone who occasionally enjoys Taylor Swift.
You can appreciate things, right? Like, I don't know. I'm not a big... name a band, and... I don't like U2. I mean, I like Joe. That's the same joke I tell every time. But you could probably put a U2 song on there that I would listen to. Go, okay, that one you can play or whatever. You know? And it's like, that's fine. Fan is short for fanatic, and it's not as if you went rushed out and bought her newest album. You don't even know what the name of her newest album is. You know, it's just that every once in a while something comes on and you're like, hey, I like that. Because you like music, Joe. You're a this is a first part of a two-part music thing we're doing. And you like music and she plays music. There's nothing wrong with that. But the new Tool album, I mean, it's not just music, is it?
I have a very deep connection to the band.
You
and
do.
So, in fact, that's most of what I have to say in response to the new album is kind of my own confusion about... Well, let me put it this way. I'm not sure how good of a judge I am with regard to the quality of the new album, because I feel like I'm so steeped in the band and what they do that I don't know if I'm looking for quality anymore. I've got all sorts of other thoughts.
Well, let's just get away from the idea of quality. Let's just move away. You know, I probably you figured this out, and so have our listener, that I may talk about quality and I might harp about it, but when push comes to shove, I don't really put much stock in the idea of quality. I put stock in the idea of providing meaning after the fact. You know what I'm saying? It's like you... When I read a book, I don't go, okay, let's see if this is good. Rather, I read and go, okay, let's see how I can think about it such that it becomes good. Same with music. And Tool's already past muster, so to speak, so they can put anything out. Now, that doesn't mean I like absolutely every song every single time, but chances are if you put something in front of me by somebody who's got a lot of talent, put a lot of work into it, I'm going to, if I'm so motivated, find something in it that makes me go, ah, this is good. Hence the Taylor Swift phenomena, which is what we'll call it. And maybe the title of this show, just so no one knows we're talking about Tool. I'm going to write that down. The Taylor Swift phenomena. I'm going to write that down.
Well, you made me think about U2. And, you know, you told me you don't like U2, but you like me. Yeah. I like U2.
Yeah.
I like U2, and I like U2 the band, and I've been listening to U2 and enjoying them for a long time. So I kind of have it's similar to my relationship with Tool in that as U2 when U2 comes out with a new album, I feel too close to their style and their presentation to ascertain. I don't know, like, is this a good album amongst other U2 albums, or am I just in their world and comfortable there?
Here's how I'm going to get us past this, okay? If food only gave nutrition as much as you enjoyed the taste of it, then we would all be very, very fit people, right? But we're not. We're a bunch of fat slobs, pretty much the world over. Music does not give you... give you your soul's sustenance based on its goodness compared to other music. It just is what it is, and you consume what you consume, and you get out of it what you get out of it, right? So you like Tool, I like Tool. A lot of people listening to this podcast are going to go, eh, don't get it, I don't understand it. There's a person I know, I won't name names, there's a person I know who, you know, give him credit, he tried. He listened to a Tool album, and he just said, I just don't get it. And I chalk that up to the fact that, you know, his head is so far up his ass, he's looking out his own mouth, which is really, really a weird concept. He's like a human Klein bottle, but never mind that. The point is...
That image sounds like a stop animation Tool video, actually. Somebody's head going up their own ass and coming out
their
mouth.
I think you're right. Yeah, yeah. So you don't have to say that this Tool album is good or not good. You can say that you like it or that you don't. You can say that you like one song or you don't. Or you can say how it makes you feel. But I don't care to hear anybody. In fact, I had to stop a lot of the things I read online, the news feeds I get. I had to stop a lot of them because they were just really shitty attempts at making money off of shitting on not just Tool, but lots of different things, right? And that's the culture we live in. So screw that. If you like it, keep liking it. If you don't, move on to something else, and don't try to justify it by saying it's great, because it isn't.
Well, and I guess that's what I'm trying to say, is that I'm not even really interested in evaluating the album in terms of, like, quality. I just have a bunch of thoughts and feelings and observations.
Well, let's talk about your thoughts and feelings.
Well, this is the thing. I was listening to the Tool album on an elliptical machine, and I was coming up with all of these. I was basically like writing a review in my head.
Sure.
But then I had to stop myself because hey, listen to the album, man. Don't think about the album while you're listening to it. Let's do it first, and then maybe respond to it. Anyway, I was afraid. Okay, well, I'll try and collect these thoughts and present them when we get on the show. And I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to articulate my thoughts, but I'll give it a try. I would like for you to first, could you give maybe a brief review or give us your thoughts on the album? And then, because I'm interested, I wonder if you have some of the same thoughts as me, so I want to hear you first. Is that okay?
Yeah, I guess so. Briefly, sort of like... some of the songs had rhythms and riffs that very much reminded me of stuff from their previous album, but none of the rest of it, right?
Okay, yeah. Okay, this is one of the things I was going to say.
Yeah.
I feel like they recycled. There were certain riffs, maybe like with different tempos, and maybe just... slightly different, but I heard some of the same like musical passages and like repeated circular riffs coming in.
Yeah,
that reminded me like exactly of previous songs on previous albums.
Yeah,
so that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. The second track on the album, which is called, let me look it up real quick because I'm not good with this stuff. The second track on the album, did I say I'm looking it up? Let me walk you through it. Where is it? Mm-hmm. What's it called? Tell me. Tell me, Joe.
I don't know.
It's called Pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. It reminded me of The Grudge from their last album. I think that's the first track off their last album. Anyway, some of the rhythms reminded me of that. And what I decided to do is rather than say, you know, to myself, what? I would say, oh, and say to myself, is there more going on here than I thought? Is it just that I'm finally recognizing a toolishness thing? Toolishness thing.
that sounds almost foolishness.
It is
toolishness, and those are some of the thoughts that I had. I was like, wait, this is Tool has a very specific style to them. In fact, I think they purposefully restrict themselves within certain like musical parameters. Or at least they're comfortable there, and so that's how they're most expressive. So the Tool's very recognizable for these reasons.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and it's definitely a sound that has evolved, and I'm much care for that word used in a non-evolutionary sense, but it's definitely grown, changed, developed over the years, such that songs off their first album and songs off of this album don't really sound the same, but there are some feelings that are going on. There's probably some tunings going on. There's probably some pedals on some guitars that are going on. There's definitely some rhythms that are going on that are similar through, but the overall feel is definitely something that's developed. And maybe, like I said, maybe it's this thing that I'm hearing in these two songs is something that's always been there. I just didn't listen deep enough to get it. Or maybe not. Maybe it's just, you know, it's been 13 years. Maybe they forgot what they wrote, you know? I don't know.
Well, I was thinking that much like... I bring this up from time to time. When you have constraints on your art, sometimes that can really help the character of your art. Again, as a recognizable entity.
Yeah.
And I always think about like Tom and Jerry and the Roadrunner, because those cartoons had specific rules that they never broke, and yet you're able to kind of within those parameters still come up with new stuff,
yeah,
and yet maintain this very specific style,
right?
You know,
right.
The Roadrunner had to get away every time. The you know, the coyote had to send out for some ridiculous apparatus to try and kill the bird.
Right.
The coyote also had to fuck himself up and basically die, but then come back to life every single time. And I feel like I'm not doing justice to Tool by making this comparison, but I found when I was listening to the album that I was like, these are, you can hear the same guitar sounds. I think if it's not the same equipment, it's synthesized to sound like the original equipment from day one.
Yeah.
It all sounds, that's a big part of how that band sounds. is the equipment and the effects that they put on things.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're able to expand almost internally. Like, the rhythms keep getting more and more, like, complex, and they change within themselves album after album. And, of course, rhythmically, that drummer is fucking amazing.
Well, he's
and
not
on
a human
this album,
being.
There was a track, maybe you can name the track, I don't know, but there's a track where they were overlaying different time signatures, and it almost felt confusing until your brain snaps into what's happening.
Was that
it's
the one?
Really there's awesome.
There's no singing. It's got some sort of electronic thing going on.
There was like one simple, not simple beat, but one recognizable beat, and then kind of another simpler beat over it that was in a different time signature. But and there's a term for this. I can't come up with it now. But
was
the
it,
time signatures after enough time lock into one another,
I'm gonna skip
and you
forward.
Can recognize it.
Was it this one?
Turn it up a little bit. Let's hear it.
Is that ringing a bell?
No, but that's just fucking badass.
Yeah, that's...
that's not the one that I was thinking of,
no, okay.
Though he might be layering some time signatures there. I think that was just one time signature. But
well, that was...
Damn, and that's his hands, right?
No, that was drumming.
That sounds like Danny Carey's using his hands, but...
No, it might be... I don't know if it was a song that was built up, or if it was just... Or here's the back track, and then Danny Carey laid down, just started playing. But that's definitely that little... Electronic stuff is in 7/4 or 7/8, some sort of 7 time, and then he's playing on top of it. You know, oftentimes he's not maintaining a particular rhythm or repetitive rhythm. Sometimes it's 5, sometimes 4, sometimes 9. He's all over the place there. But that's not what you were talking about. And incidentally, for anybody who just heard that little tiny bit and went, "Oh, that's what Tool's all about?" No, if you had heard that song independently of ever. Of if someone played that song to you and didn't say it was Tool, you might not have known. Because a little electronic stuff is very asymptomatic, if I can use the word symptom, for the music. The drumming was definitely very much Danny Carey. An astute listener would go, oh yeah, I know who that drummer is. But the electronic weirdness at the beginning was definitely not a Tool thing.
Yeah, so I hear them internally expanding their exploration. And this is something that came to mind. This, as albums moved along, the music became more and more meditative.
Yes.
And less climactically oriented from song to song. I feel like they don't necessarily try to build to some climax in a song. They used to do that more as songwriters. But now I feel like they segue from one kind of rhythmic, musical, like journey, meditation, and then they transition into other ones, and then suddenly, after a collection of those, the song is over.
Yeah,
so it's like it's a different feeling, but still very much recognizably Tool.
Yeah, for absolutely. The somebody is probably going to or already has written a master's thesis on how the tone of the lyrics have changed over the years. You know, the very first album is obviously very, very angry, and then it gets, you know.
Yeah, there's a lot less anger now.
Yeah, oh no, yeah. By the last three albums, the anger has shifted to, I don't want to say forgiveness so much, is understanding. And I think the tone overall of the music is the same way. And that climactic thing you're talking about, which is evidenced in my favorite songs, is there in the last album. But you're right, not so much in this album, except for one track, the second to last one, which I think is called Tempest, except the T is a 7 or whatever. But even that doesn't build up to a perfect crescendo and then die away. It's just more of like what you said. It comes around like that. When you were talking about Tom and Jerry and the things they do and the Roadrunner, I think what you're talking about is what a critic would call cliche, but what would a generous person call tropes, right? They're tropes that are specific to the genre. And definitely Tool has their tropes. And you're right, they do take them and they... they add them together and they try new and different things. And I don't know who the mastermind behind all this is. I know that each person in the band provides his own ideas and things, and they mix them together and they try them on and stuff like that. But I do think that for sure, when all is said and done, this album is an album for Tool fans. Specifically, it's for people who have been listening to Tool a lot for a long time. Which is not to say, yes. I'm not trying to gatekeep here. Anybody can come to this album and find something to it. If you're a music lover, these are talented individuals. But what I'm getting at is the things that you're hearing, that you heard before, that's because you've been listening to the same Tool music for 13 years. You've had nothing new. And so all you can do in your head is combine and mush and put things together. And probably over the course of that 13 years, which is the space since the last album, not their whole career, you've probably moved from, oh, this was my favorite. Oh, now this one's my favorite. Now this is the one I listen to. And I didn't ever listen to this one before, but now I'm listening to a lot. And so you're really, you know, more entrenched in this than, you know, you would be into the music of somebody who puts out a new album every year. And again, there's nothing wrong with that at all. Go Buckethead, you're a genius. Go Taylor Swift, you're a genius too. But when Tool decides that they're going to work on something for this long, the fan has no choice but to either fully immerse, which means ridding themselves of any expectation, just acceptance, just full acceptance, just it is what it is. It is a language unto itself. And then here's a new book in the same language, and you're going to read it because you love the language. You don't even care what the story is. And I think that's what's going on here.
Well, and so here are some of my thoughts, because I feel like they continue to evolve internally. And what I mean by that is using all of the familiar kind of elements and sounds and rhythms and riffs, like they have evolved those internally, like within those parameters. But then they also, I noticed, have expanded outside of their normal elements a little bit. Like I heard a couple things that were bordering on guitar solos.
Okay.
A couple times. And he normally stays far away from that. He's very sparse, at least when it comes to notes and like the rapidity of the notes. Like I think the guy could wail and bust out a face melting very fast solo, but there's no need for that, and it's not part of his style. But
right. He
was branching out with the solo work in a way that I'd never heard him do before.
Yeah. What's
his name? Oh, damn.
Adam Jones.
Adam Jones. Thank you.
And I'm not the sort of person who knows the names of band members as such, but like I said, when a band hasn't put out anything for a long time and you just sort of end up gleaning this stuff, yeah, I agree. You said something that sparked an idea in my head. God, I hate being old. You know what? If you guys can avoid changing your medication and getting a CPAP machine and hearing an album you were waiting for over a decade all at the same time, I would suggest it, because I can't remember anything.
Well, were you maybe I can jog your memory a little bit, were you thinking of expansive elements, like things that they haven't done before, or were you thinking about the internal concept, evolution concept?
I do think that when you look at some of their earlier work, you're seeing something that, and I can't say this is exactly what happened, but I feel like it was everybody contributed, but it went through the filter of one person, whoever it might have been. And definitely in the earlier stuff, when you're new to a band, you tend to focus on the lyrics. And so whether it's appropriate or not, whether it's a good thing or not, you tend to like say, okay, how do the lyrics make me listen to the rest of this song, right? Are the lyrics happy? Are they sad? Are they angry? What have you? I feel like by now, both fans and the band members themselves are like, hey, everybody's got some ideas. Let's put them together and cross our fingers. The whole will be greater than the sum of its parts. But yeah, if Adam Jones, the guitarist, is going to do more guitar-y lead type things, and I forget the bassist player's name. He's not their only...
Justin Chancellor?
There you go. Thank you. He's not their... the only bass player they've had, but he's the one they've had for the longest. He definitely has some things in there. You can listen and you go, oh, that's definitely a Justin Chancellor thing going on. And we've already talked about Danny Carey ad nauseum. And of course, my understanding is Maynard James Keenan will not write lyrics until the song is mostly done. So he's definitely bringing it in and adding in his own thing, but it goes with the other stuff. My point is this, all that stuff you're hearing, Joe, again, I think it comes down to you're immersed in Toolness, and therefore you're going to here's a really bad analogy. If you and a botanist were to walk into a forest, you would see a bunch of trees. The botanist would see lots of individual different things, right? Even two trees that are the same, the botanist would be able to see two different trees, whereas you couldn't tell them apart, right? And that's the same with this album. This album being listened to by you, is you're going to pick up on all kinds of different stuff. You're going to take it apart, maybe to your displeasure. I have friends who are were theater majors in college, and they can't watch plays now because all they can do is see the parts. No pun intended. They don't see everything come together as a whole. So
I think that's a great analogy, man. And this is another thing I wanted to touch on. I found myself a little bit bored throughout. Now, I really mean this. I expect my enjoyment of the album to increase as I listen to it. And I think I'll become more emotionally affected by it the more I listen to it, just by virtue of what you just said.
Yes.
Because I am focusing on kind of the artistry and the style, and like my familiarity with Tool, it just turns on this microscope. And yes, it doesn't allow me yet, I think, to feel as emotionally affected as I might once I am able to step back and kind of let this album wash over me.
Yeah, and that's the oxymoron, or the paradox of it all. You are simultaneously listening just to the bits and pieces because you're enmeshed in it, but also because you've been listening to them so long, you're also accepting of the full package. So you have both things going on at the same time. And I think that does lend itself to you finding more and more enjoyment as you go on. And if some psychiatrist were to come in, or psychologist, or I don't know, somebody who's a brain expert comes in and were to say that, yeah, this is how it works, and you can actually do this with anything. If you become enmeshed or immersed in the tropes of a particular piece of art, and then you find a new one that's done by the same talent, you will also find greater enjoyment the more you engage with it over time. If that were the case, I would be like, oh, that's so awesome, because it's a great feeling, right? It is a wonderful feeling to be able to sit down and listen to a song that you've listened to literally 1,000 times and still get a shiver up and down your spine and still get goosebumps, right? I didn't get goosebumps the first time I listened to this album, but I know I'm going to when I hit 1,000. I know I am.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Again, I don't have real high expectations. I just have so much respect for Tool, and it's cool to just hear them create again.
Yeah.
It's cool. Now, I might never be – I was also thinking this might just be my age, and I'm a completely different person now. And when I listened to Tool when I was younger, I would get really overwhelmed with emotion. It would affect me very deeply. You know, move me to tears, big surges of anger, and like the emotions around it were heavy. And
absolutely, yeah.
There is music nowadays that can do that to me, but I don't know if Tool will do that to me again. That's not to speak of the quality of the music. Might just be a different vessel that's responding differently to the same type of expression.
I don't think that this album is necessarily going to do that. And yes, you're right. You are old. I mean, you're not CPAP, new medication, going to a fucking lake for the weekend. God damn it. Old. But you're close, Joe. You're really goddamn close. So, but I bet you could put yourself in a mood. Maybe it's a nostalgic mood, but maybe it's meth-induced, where you listen to some of their earlier work, and yeah, you can probably reach back, because music does that, right? It's part and parcel of how our brains are wired in certain ways. Yeah. And you can probably reach back and, you know, if somebody came into your house and said, I want to beat you in the face, but I'm going to give you about an hour to get ready. And you're like, okay, I got to focus. All right. I'm going to listen to Cold and Ugly 18 times in a row. And I'm going to punch my knees really hard until it hurts. I don't know. That was stupid. But you know, I have like 6 minutes to make this show funny again before the really funny part of you doing all the stuff you said you needed 20 minutes to do at the end happens.
Oh, well, it's this. The thing is, the emotions that were evoked and that existed when I was young in response to Tool songs, those emotions can still be triggered by old Tool songs.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they can be evoked by new Tool songs. So I can listen to even like, you know, Sober, or like... Not Cold and Ugly, or Crawl Away.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
something like that, and it's still like, and again, I think that says more about my, when I was exposed to Tool, how much it meant to me at the time, and now I'm so different, and the music is different, and I'm not going to expect that type of emotional response anymore. I feel like I'm repeating myself.
No, it's totally fine, and you're making sense. Yes, it's definitely it's going to be the case that I don't want to say good music, but music is capable of bringing out of a person and the emotions that are already there, right? We can hold those emotions back, or we can wear them on our sleeve, and music can you know bring those up, whether it's joy or anger or fear or sadness, what have you, right? They can do that. And when you're a young dude, I can't speak about young women and where their socioeconomic tiers, but when people who are like us were teenagers, we were young, we were stupid, we had hard-ons that wouldn't go away, and you know, all that other stereotypical crap. And definitely, mm-hmm. angry music helped us. Helped us face it down, right, and own it, so that we went from being controlled by our emotions. Thank you. To recognizing them for what they were, and if needs be, use them. But even better, just corral them for what they were, which is, you know, reactions to existence. And I can go all philosophical on you right now if you want to, but I'd rather be silly. I'm just waiting. Well, okay, yeah. Maybe I'm not waiting. What was I going to say? Weird Al has never done a Tool parody, but I'm hoping that you will. So, and it doesn't have to be an obscenitized thing, but the closest I've ever seen to a Tool parody was this YouTube video. Gosh, maybe I can find it here, where this guy's like, how to create a Tool song, and he takes Smoke on the Water, and he changes a few things, and as he changes it, you're like, Jesus Christ, that does sound like Tool. I should have brought this up sooner. Let me see if I can find it. But yeah, I need a parody, because for me, Thing doesn't exist unless I can find the ironic twin that goes with it, right? And I really need to.
Well, look, man. If I'm gonna do, if I'm gonna Weird Al a Tool song, I'm definitely gonna obscenitize it. I mean, that's what I would do. And
okay.
I don't know if you've thought about it, but like there are some like Sober. These songs are crying out for to be obscenitized. Oh, now that we're getting older, I mean, I could say, why can't I get a boner?
There you go. Perfect. Huh? Here's that parody I was talking about. Okay, now he's going to drop down the... Okay, let me explain what he's doing. So
he's going to turn Smoke on the Water into a Tool song.
Yes.
I can already hear it. Yeah.
So he did it. It says here, tune down to drop tuning, play the same riff on the first three strings like the true rock star you are. Okay, here he goes.
Very good.
That already sounds a little bit like Tool.
Yep.
Okay, now he says, add a pinch of lysergic acid diethylamide. Oh, LSD, right? Yeah.
LSD, very good.
That right there was bonus step. Do a lot of hammer-ons.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that makes sense. And that's just somebody that is able to recognize the elements that
exactly
are beautiful.
Okay, now he's saying use dynamics and random time measures to mess with the stoners. This is so awesome.
Yeah. He understands, yeah.
Yeah, that was, as far as I'm concerned, somebody could take that, like you said, like we said at the beginning, or what we've been talking about ad nauseum, take all the little bits and pieces that are very Toolish and have that Tool feel and put them together in this sort of meta-fantastic Tool. And the thing that would be great about it is that you would listen to it, the Tool fan would listen to it and laugh their tits off. Tits all over the floor. You should be up to your neck in tits.
Yeah.
And it would be so great. But it would not be Tool. It would not. You could listen to it 1,000 times. Like God knows that I listen to Weird Al's parodies of songs, several of them more than the originals. And he adds his Weird Al-ness, you know, to it. And it's just so great. And it's very comprehensive and cohesive all by itself. But it's not, I think he'd be the first to admit this. It's not the original song. He cannot. No. He is not perfectly copying. Although he's extremely talented, and I wouldn't be surprised if Weird Al could sit down and say, "I tell you what, I'm going to write you a. I'm going to write an authentic Boston song. It's going to you're not going to know
I'm
it's not
Boston. Make you a brand new Coolio song.
Yeah,
and it's going to be better than Coolio.
And you're not going to be able to tell that it's not, because it's not going to be silly and it's not going to be, you know, nonsensical. I'm just going to take all of his parts together. I think any really dedicated artist could probably do that, but we've only got so many seconds on this earth of ours, and this is probably just a waste of time. It's like, why would I want to put all the effort into being a mimic when I can create my own crap? Anyway, I'm going off another deep end here.
To your point, Tool is greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah, I think any good music is.
I'm going to listen to this album several times and start to have different responses to it, because I'm going to have a different. The landscape is going to get more and more broad.
Right. Yeah, I think any great musician, or let's just say artist, is going to be greater than the sum of its parts. And I'll put it this way: you know, you mentioned Taylor Swift, and like, you mentioned lots of things that you like. You said, well, okay, for example, you said she's attractive. That's true. And she's a singer, and she's a writer, and her content, what she's writing about, all these are different parts. But the glue, the thing that makes it all stick, the thing that makes it greater than some of its parts, is the listener, right? That's the person who listens, which is why no one can ever say something that a person enjoys is bad unless they say that the person who's enjoying it is bad. And those people should go straight to hell. I mean, go straight there. Don't stop at 7-Eleven and get some fucking Corn Nuts. Just go straight to hell. Don't deviate. Just get in your fucking Tesla, set it on auto, and, you know, stick your head back up your ass and go all the way to hell. If you think people shouldn't like something, go to hell. Joe, we're up a minute.
Yes, I totally agree. That being said, no one should like mumble rap. Anyway.
Okay, I wrote several mumble rap nursery rhymes, and when I get my shit together, I'm going to put those to a fat beat. And when I say fat, I don't mean P-H-A-T, I mean F-A-T. It will have triglycerides in it.
And well, then, turn me around on mumble rap, and I will be super impressed.
Okay.
But you know, that's all in jest, of course. If somebody really likes mumble rap, then fucking that's fine. I just...
they have our permission, right?
I don't know why.
They have our permission. Yeah. Anybody who gives you shit about liking mumble rap, play them our podcast. Fuck, play all 134. What are you up to? 134 episodes, something like that. Play them all, and then if they still say that there's something wrong with you, then clearly you need to hire Liam Neeson to punch them in the face. Okay, you have some things you prepared for us in advance of the show, Joe. Do you want to do those now?
Yes. So, I would like to talk about butt fuck jokes. But it's related to Tool. I can kind of segue from Tool into this next topic.
Go for it.
I found this footage of something that I recorded with some other gentleman about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And at that time, I was in a band called the Oort Cloud. Do you know what the Oort Cloud is?
Yeah, it's a star making ball. It's lots of gas, lots of dust, I should say.
Well, no, it's like a huge sphere of comets that is surrounding our solar system, and it helps our solar system move through the galaxy as it rotates around the supermassive black hole at the center of the Milky Way galaxy.
That's the name of your band.
Yeah, because we, you know, some of the people were studying astronomy, and they were like, oh, the Oort Cloud, that's kind of obscure, and it was kind of a pretentious name, and we're setting ourselves up for people that didn't like our band, because a lot of people just called us the Fart Cloud, and that was it.
Okay.
You know? Hey, it's the Fart Cloud, yay, you know what I mean? Yeah. Well, but the Oort Cloud had a lot of good musicians in it, and I learned a lot and became a better musician. I actually played bass.
Oh.
And guitar sometimes, and sometimes even drums in this band.
Wow.
And we played shows all over the place. And the guy Colby, who you've met before, he was at my bachelor party, and he's an amazing guitar player.
Yeah.
And back then, when we were in our very early 20s, he was like one of the showcases of the band, like just how good he was. We put him on display, right? Well,
yeah.
I had a side project called Swivel back then.
Okay.
And the musicianship, the technical skill in total of that band was way less than the Oort Cloud. But the sense of humor collectively was at a higher level. And it allowed me to just fuck around with these guys and make kind of sillier music. And some of it was serious. Some of it was fun. I played bass in that band. It's taking me a while.
That's
my
okay.
apologies. But the drummer for Swivel, I would constantly be playing his drum set. And I was constantly listening to Tool. Okay?
Yeah.
And we were constantly telling fuck your mom jokes and fuck you in the butt jokes all the time. And,
sure.
And,
like
but
you
I
do.
Was when I was playing his drums, I was constantly trying to play Tool drum beats. And I was trying to play fills. Like, I actually got to the point where I could play the fill from, like, 46 and 2 pretty good, which is really fast.
Yeah.
It was, like, a specific, really intense fill, right?
Yeah.
But this band, you know, it's since I was 12, I've been telling fucking your mom jokes. Like, this problem started a long, long time ago, right?
Yeah.
And these guys in Swivel were actually from, they were going to college in Boulder with me in what we all called Colder, Colorado.
Okay.
And that's where I was in the band, the Oort Cloud, or the Fart Cloud.
Yeah.
But these guys were like a year behind me in high school. They showed up at college with us, and they would come and watch Oort Cloud shows, and then I ended up just after those shows going and playing in this band with them and getting drunk and just having fun.
Okay.
And we were this guy. Okay, so these guys are from Payne Street in Sevierville, Tennessee, and one of them we called Will. Well, he was the Fresh Prince of Bold Air, is what we called him, Will Smith.
Yeah.
And then there was Ape Chet Richardson.
Ape Chet.
Yeah, we called him Ape Chet. And we called him that because when he was on the drums, he would go Ape Shit. And in Swivel, so the Fresh Prince of Bold Air, he would kind of obscenitize songs. He would throw me off, and it cracked me up all the time. He would throw in this line, take it in the butt, yeah.
Okay.
He would be singing along with any old song, and he would unexpectedly, while he was singing along, switch out some of the lyrics with take it in the butt, yeah.
Can you give me an example?
So let's say if he were singing, let's say like a Talking Heads song.
Yeah.
Let's see, like Once in a Lifetime.
Can you do it with a Taylor Swift song?
Say again?
Can you do it with a Taylor Swift song?
Taylor Swift?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah,
you can. He'd be like, this is not my beautiful wife. This is not my ticket in the butt, yeah? Like, it wouldn't even make sense. He would, like, do a Pearl Jam song where it's like, I can't even give you another example, but this guy was doing that all the time, and pretty soon.
Take it in the butt, yeah. Seemed a harmless little yeah, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, or like if he were singing Tool sober, he'd be like there's a shadow just behind me. I'm going to take it in the butt, yeah. That type of thing.
Yeah. You really can't do a Taylor Swift song?
These are terrible examples, man.
We do Taylor. I'm going to look up a Taylor Swift lyrics. I googled Taylor Swift. That's the only thing I googled, and the first hit was, "Who the fuck is Tool? Fans freak over unknown band dethroning Taylor Swift." That's what we talked about the show. That's funny to me. I know I'm taking over your bit, Joe, but I want to hear some goddamn Taylor Swift. What's one of her favorite songs?
I can't even think of a Taylor Swift song.
There's got to be
You're
thousands.
Fucking me up with this Taylor Swift.
Now, she's like 21 or she's 23, 22. Here you go. What's that song?
Can't think of it.
Well, I'm going to play it. You're going to... No, I don't want to buy it. Amazon, just play the goddamn thing. Ah, it keeps taking me to fucking Amazon. All right, go ahead. Finish your thing. And then at
Come
the
on,
end
man,
of the show...
Let me tell my take it in the butt song.
Take it in the butt, Joe. Yeah.
All right. So we had a bunch of songs in Swivel, and we had a bunch of like little comedy skits that we did, and we actually recorded an album with all of this silly music. One thing we never recorded, except for once on video, was this song. Actually, we called it an exercise, and it was based on the fact that the Fresh Prince would always say, take it in the butt. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what we did was this exercise where we just played this silly music, and then we challenged one another to say, take it in the butt. Yeah. In different ways, you know, take different takes on it. Sure. It reminds me of the whole thing about Tom and Jerry or the Roadrunner, where we had, that was our rule. There was constraints we had to stay within. And it seemed very simple. I was like going through all of these DVDs that I had, and I found a DVD of Swivel. And by the way, you can hear I'm playing drums on this.
Okay.
We all take turns with the quote unquote vocals. But the guitar player, the Fresh Prince, is playing bass, and the drummer, Ape Chet Richardson, is not playing anything. He's just bouncing around going Ape Chet and screaming every once in a while. Okay. So, whew, that took me a long time
to
build up to this. Oh my goodness. This is called Take It in the Butt, Yeah.
Okay, here we go. We ditched the whole scene and end up. Okay, whoops, sorry. Sorry. Wrong button. Sorry about that. Jesus.
Yeah, no, that's really rough. 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Desert cactus sodomy!
That was desert cactus sodomy.
Yeah.
In the butt, yeah.
There's an element of suspense here every once in a while.
Wow.
Take it in the butt, yeah!
Wow.
In the butt, yeah.
No, also, this is after about 30 beers each.
Yeah.
We're doing okay.
In the butt, yeah. Excuse me, sir, would you just take it in the butt, yes?
That was the Fresh Prince.
Yes.
Bend over and take it in the butt, yeah! Take it in the butt, yeah!
I think that was me.
Probably.
Please, honestly, just take it in the fucking butt. Yeah.
That's my favorite one. Losing it on the base.
Take it in the toilet! All
right. You know what that reminded me of? Like, that was... Wait, do you remember what year that was, Joe?
That's fucking life in the land of Sodom.
What year was that? That must have been 2001.
Because that was
2000, the year 2000.
Because that whole sound was just so. I mean, I'm a nearly 50 year old guy. Who knows what? I don't know what I'm talking about, but it just sounded very punk to me. Just sort of like very like Ramones, first album of Ramones. Like, fuck it. We don't know.
I think that band, Swivel, was as close to real punk rock as I ever got.
Yeah.
With all the music I ever played. Not that we played punk music, it's that we really didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? I think that's
the
what it comes back to.
Punk, we really reached it there.
I think so. Yeah, just the I don't care. It reminded me of this song.
Hey! Don't touch me! Don't touch me!
It reminded me of that song, and it also reminded me of...
Yeah, from Space Ghost Coast to Coast, or
yeah,
whatever?
Yeah, and then it also maybe reminded me of... see if I can...
I don't know if we were ripping that off from anybody, if we were even aware. Again, we didn't give a shit, but we considered that an exercise, and we would do that at the parties that we played. We would do that, and the crowd would scream, "Take it in the butt, yeah," with us.
Oh, okay.
That's fun. And we would let people from whoever was there, we would just point the... Everybody got the rules, right?
Right.
And then you just point the microphone at somebody, and then they, you know, give it a shot.
I like it. Yeah.
I love that one where he goes, "Oh, just honestly, please, just take it in the fucking butt, yes."
Yes, it's the yes part. It's the best so part. You've heard this song, right? I'm gonna dance one big off in the rain. You know that song, right?
What is that? Is that like a...
you haven't heard that
Bilby
song before?
Clock or whatever? Butthole Surfers?
Yeah, you go.
Okay.
Yeah, it reminded me of that one. I just like the whole like music where you have one basic riff thing going, and then you stop, and then you say something.
Yeah,
you
stop and you do something. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I'm
pretty sure we weren't the first, but there was nothing innovative about that.
Oh, I thought
it was a lot of fun. And what I've done is I've sent you a video because I got the audio off of that. That is a video, so you'll see me playing drums. And
okay. By the way, good job. I heard those Toolish fills. Those Toolish fills.
Did you tell that I couldn't stop listening to Tool?
Yeah, I could tell.
As
yeah,
a drummer.
I liked it. That's some good stuff going on.
So check this out. I don't know how much time we have left in the show.
We got 3 minutes.
Okay, well, don't hit the Rooksop before we hear this thing that I've created for you.
Okay, should I play it now? Okay, go.
Well, no. I got to tell you just a little bit about it.
All right,
so I listened to the last few shows and I found some new buttons for you.
Oh, okay.
You know, how every once in a while, because we've had a lot of guests on, a lot of funny things were said, so I like to collect buttons for you.
Mm-hmm.
I collect these buttons and I realized as I was listening to Take It in the Butt, yeah, I found a really great way to present new buttons to you.
Okay.
Hold on, do you hear that?
I do, yeah. Is that your dryer, your washer, your water heater?
It sounds like Danny Carey.
Well,
but it's my water heater. It's finally chimed in
after all these years.
Oh shit! Well, anyway, so here are some new buttons.
Okay,
it's presented musically to you,
okay.
And it's called "Take It in the Button." Yeah. Are you okay, fuckass?
Bubble fucking guppies.
The world is so terrible.
Yeah.
I hate it. What is the fuck?
What is the fuck? Walk around the street tripping your balls off.
Douchebag asshole son of a bitch motherfucker. I mean, this is a bad dude.
It's tiny cocks, medium cocks, big cocks.
Give me my half of the heroin. old fucking geezer.
No, a
good night, sweet fuck ass. What's this?
Oh man. Oh boy.
So those are all my new buttons. What do you think?
That might have to become a new bit, Joe. You might have to do that again. I'm not saying it should take place of montages, but oh Jesus.
Well, you know what? Like we were talking about with Tool, I feel like I just found a new way.
Yes.
I internally evolved. That really is a montage. It's just a new way to do it.
You know what? You're no longer 46. You are 46 and 2.
Aha!
Yeah, I gave myself my own applause. All right. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Joe, did you say next week we're going to have an actual musician? Oh, you're a musician, but a musician I'm not related to on the show. Sorry, that came out wrong.
I am hoping, tentatively, we do have planned that Timbe,
who
is a great drummer.
Awesome.
We might put something together for the show. I'm definitely going to... He's probably going to listen to this, so maybe I don't want to ruin the surprise, but I'm probably going to bring in some stuff that he's played. Surprise him with footage of his own musicianship.
Do it.
It ought to be fun.
That'll be so great. And by that time, I will be, let's see, I'm going to do the math right. 3 days on my new medication. And apparently this stuff is supposed to give me more energy and get this, lower libido at the same time. So I have nothing to do with my cock except whap it against the microphone.
Is that what it sounds like?
Not. It's more. As a little bit of a sound. It's more like this. Foley.
Wow, that was our first Foley dick shit. Foley dick joke.
Dick Foley.
I'm getting that one out.
Wait, isn't there a guy named Dick Foley?
Dick Foley.
Not a guy's name. I have to Google it now.
I feel taking the butt. Yeah, I'm gonna take some. A couple of those things are really funny. I'm gonna make buttons out of them so you can just hit them. Some of those take it in the butt. Yes, I think they hold up after all these decades.
There is a guy named Dick Foley in the world. There's lots of them back. Okay. Well, Joe, this was a good episode. Thanks for indulging me. I know that the show was not as funny for the first half as I would like, but you more than made up for it at the end. So thanks for that. And to our listener, thanks for putting up with us.
Well, hey, man, I think some of our listener are Tool fans, so maybe they'll find the Tool discussion interesting. Or
and
maybe not.
Feel free to join in. Send us an email. Now, I never checked that email, but I mean, I think it's supposed to automatically come to my other email address, and no one ever writes to it. So, and I don't even remember what it is. So, just, I don't know. I have no idea how you can reach out to us. I don't know. I don't know.
Find us on Facebook.
Okay, yeah. And if you call yourself Fuckass Joe, we'll talk back to you.
Next week, or at some point, I'm going to go into the... There's a lot to talk about when it comes to fuckass. A controversy has come up about my usage of the word fuckass.
Good,
so, we'll delve into that at some point.
Teaser. All right. I'm going to hit mute and blow my nose. See you, hear you, say you next time. Bye-bye.
Take it in the butt, yeah!
Bye.